Lord. Please be seated. I don't know why GPs want to send people to exercise class on Sunday morning. I say send them here. Community singing, leaping up and down, life of the Lord. What more could you want? So now we're going to come to the other thing that we're here for today. Oh gosh, I've forgotten what it is. Oh, R2 Canaway. That's very good. I remember we've got a reading for that, and we're going to have a short reflection on that, and then we're going to talk about the purpose of marriage, and then they're going to stand up here, and they're going to renew their vows, facing each other and holding hands. Can we do that in public? Yes, you can. Okay. So now, remember, the first reading is simply this. We'll come to the second reading in a minute. The first reading is simply that wonderful opening verse of Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. That's it. Keep doing that. So here we are. All squashed together, and it's nice and warm now, isn't it? It's all squashed together. It might be frosty outside, but here the warmth is flowing. We're here to celebrate Archie and Canaway's 30th wedding anniversary. And we're here to thank God for their marriage and for their renewal of it for the future. Because it's not an achievement we're into here. We're into the pilgrimage of love. Now, every so often, the television or newspapers interview people who've been married a long time. Now, if some of you are as old as me, you may have heard of the film star Kirk Douglas. Who's heard of Kirk Douglas? Well, the rest of you will just have to listen up then. Now, Kirk Douglas has been married for 65 years. And on the 20th wedding anniversary of his son Michael and his marriage to Catherine Zeta-Jones, he sent his son a note saying, "Well done, Michael. You've learned an important message. To stay married, you must obey your wife." Now, there's a challenge, lads. But it really reminds me of this couple who actually spent a lot of their marriage bickering together. And their children, their grown-up children, got a bit distressed about this. They said, "Come on, we've got to do something about this." So they all put their money in their pockets and they paid for them to go and have a consultation with a world-famous psychiatrist renowned for his counselling of married couples. So they went along and he sat there behind his desk and his husband sat over there, the wife sat over there. And all the way through the interview, they were going, "Bicker, bicker, 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 bicker." Till finally the psychiatrist said, "I've got the solution. I know what will solve your problems." "Oh, great. Thanks. What is it?" When he got out and he walked round his desk, like what psychiatrists shouldn't, and he went up to the woman and he gave her a big hug. And then he went back behind his desk and sat down again. And he said to the husband, "That's what your wife needs that, at least twice a week." "Okay," said the husband, "when shall I bring her around? Tuesdays and Thursdays?" There's plenty of advice in the world about what makes a long, positive marriage. But can you really do better than these words in Ephesians, Ed? Really do better than these words in Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 21. These are surely the truest words ever said about what makes for a long marriage. "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints," that's just an ordinary word for Christians, "together with all Christians, to grasp how wide and long and high is the love of God, the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Okay, Ed? "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I remember watching a long time ago, which just shows how old I am, that rather sad interview between the late Princess Diana and on Panorama, in which she complained there was a third person in her marriage. Oh dear, it wasn't a positive comment. Charles may have been married to her, but he loved another. But you know, I reckon that actually we all need a third person in our marriage. I'm not thinking of that sort of third person. I'm thinking of someone who knows what it is like to be true. I'm thinking of someone who knows what it's like to love you, whatever you're like. I'm thinking of someone who is totally and ultimately faithful to you, whose promises you can utterly rely upon. I'm thinking of someone who loves you so much that he actually died for you. We all need Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the third person in our marriage. In fact, Paul tells us that marriage is a mystery, for it reflects the love of Christ and his church. Two people freely joined together to be one person, as God in Christ through the Holy Spirit freely joins with us to be one with us. Now, 30th anniversary is a pearl anniversary, and I see we're wearing a lovely pearl. And natural pearls are jewels formed around an intruding evil. Did you know that? Some kind of intervention from the outside world that would actually try and destroy the oyster. But the oyster grows a pearl of beauty, so it does not harm itself. You know, marriages are not easy, especially the marriages of Christians. Falling in love is easy. I think I used to do it lots of times. But then they always said to me, I don't know, I found out when I was young, I didn't know that women wash their hair so much. You know, I used to say, oh, could I come and could we perhaps go out Thursday night? I can't, I'm washing my hair. Okay. Monday night, oh no, wash my hair again. Okay, I should have been a hairdresser. Weddings are not hard to arrange. There's a certain lore about it, but they're not hard to arrange. You know, society is increasingly undoing marriage, making divorce easier and easier. Even destroying the foundation of society. People just don't seem to get it. The marriage of a man and a woman is the foundation of the true society. Yeah, marriage is challenging work. I hate to say it, but it's true, but we know that when two people love each other, there can be no happy end to it. Because in this life, it's very likely that one of you will go before the other. But I hope we don't spend our days going, getting the insurance policies out, going, well, I think it might be you. The important thing is, if that, when that happens to you, because you've been so wrapped up with Jesus, you will be able to continue in joy and hope and forgiveness.
Amen.
Marriage is challenging work. You know, it's not a sprint, a 100-yard dash to the honeymoon. It's a marathon. And you walk it in the heat of the day. You walk it in the thunderstorms and the snow and the ice. You walk it over rough ways and smooth. And some people are cheering you on and praying for you. And other people are going, it'll never last. Oh, dear. They're judging you. They're putting bad words on you. They're negative thoughts and negative vibes upon your marriage. And the enemy picks them all up and goes, ho, 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 throwing them all over you. But you have a friend. You have a companion, you have a partner in love who will wrap the pearl of goodness around you.
Amen.
I mean, perhaps the difficulty of marriages begins in the truth that opposites attract. I won't ask you about this, Archie. Opposites attract. It can be really difficult, isn't it? The extrovert meets the introvert. The one shining at the front meets the other quietly supporting in the background. Cringe time abounds. And yet, isn't it a delight when your partner lives in their talents and giftings?
Amen.
And into every marriage comes challenges. And we all know that Archie and Kanawe have faced a terrible challenge. The challenge of the death of one of their most precious children. It's the death of Don. All children are precious to them. All three of them are deeply precious to them. To lose one is devastating. It could have warped their lives. It could have spun their lives in a spider's trap of unresolved grief. It could have, instead of bringing them together, could have broken them apart. It could have turned them against one another. You remember that? You. It could have broken down into conflict and tension and war and civil war and disorder and divorce. But it didn't. And it hasn't. And it's not going to.
Amen.
You see? You can't deny the truth. You know, I sometimes do funerals for people. It's part of the job. I only do it because I believe in the resurrection. And some people say, oh, you know, this thing went wrong in their life. Can you not mention it? But brothers and sisters, everybody knows about it. Don't hide it. Rise above it. Trust in the Lord. Put your hope in him. The challenges are still there. Parenthood may for all of us at times seem more of a thorn in the side than a flower in our hearts. Hopes and dreams may collide. The resolution of love might seem far away. Tears might flow where once joy laughed. But God is with you.
Amen.
God's with them.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, he may do a bit more bouncing up and down in Kanawe. He may be a bit on the quieter side in Archie. But you know, that's because God respects who we are. He doesn't say, it's like jigsaw. You ever do a jigsaw puzzle? You know, you got that thing where and you get a piece and you go, I'm going to get that in there. A little bit moving. Get my knife out, shape it, it'll go in there. God doesn't push jigsaw puzzle pieces of the one shape into the wrong shape. He fits them together so that they come together in a great and glorious pattern. An amazingly beautiful pattern. God doesn't push together what is not meant to belong. So I pray. We'll be praying for them, but I wonder what Paul said is a prayer for you. Out of God's glorious riches, may he continue to strengthen you together with power through his Spirit in your inner being as one.
Amen.
So that Christ may continue to dwell in your marriage. And that you, this is a wonderful promise. This is so amazing when you think about it, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Amen.
I mean, there you are, empty human being, suffering many disasters and stresses, and God, tip of your toes, wants to fill you with his fullness, wants to fill you with himself to the very top of your head. And you know what? He wants it to flow out of you, that you'll share it with others. He doesn't bless you so you can go around, God's blessed me, I'm okay. He wants you to give it away. You're blessed to be a blessing to others.
Amen.
That you may be filled to the measure, pressed down, shaken up, poured over, filled to the measure of all the fullness of God through his deep, endless resurrection love. And that you and all who love him will know that he's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Don't give up asking. Don't stop imagining, but just know he'll give you more. His great powers at work within you. To him be the glory in your marriage, Archie and Knoway, in your family, in the church, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So let's stand and sing. Jesus is the name we honour. Jesus is the name we honour.